Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I have with me Dawn.
Hello.
And it's a pleasure to welcome once again to VI Talk, Dan from Visualise Training and Consultancy. Well, actually the founder of Visualise Training Consultancy. So hiya Dan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. So do you want to start telling us a little bit about yourself first off? Let's do the nitty gritty.
Yeah, okay. So my name's Dan Williams, as you said, and I'm the founder of Visualise Training and Consultancy. I also have a visual impairment myself. I have a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, and I was diagnosed at the age of 8. I was diagnosed because I was a clumsy child, kept dropping things on the floor, couldn't find them, and about 2 years later, had the badge of honour with RP.
What was that like for you as a child, Dan? Was was it very difficult, or did you kind of, you know, some people really kind of just get on with it, don't they? And for others, it's a very difficult journey.
Yeah, I think at the age, I was so young, I didn't really understand what was going on, to be honest. I just thought I had to wear some glasses and sit at the front of the class. And then I suppose it didn't really impact me emotionally until I got to about the age of 16, when I really understood what was actually happening to me. And so that was quite a traumatic time in my life, I suppose. And, you know, all my friends were sort of going to looking at their careers and looking at what they wanted to do. And I was thinking I wanted to be in the police force and be a policeman. I didn't really. And then it was a realization that actually that wasn't realistic and I couldn't do that. And become really emotional at that point, because that was sort of a stumbling block in my way.
So you were in mainstream education, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so I went through mainstream school and then went to the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford.
So what steps did you take from there? You went through what did you study at the college, and how did you move to your...
Yeah.
Your own business.
Okay, so I mean, I sort of fell into the college, really, because again, growing up in mainstream school, I'd never met anyone that was blind before. Mm. And I've one day sort of felt really, really low, and I had become very depressed at that age and had some counselling. Again, that didn't really work. Yeah. And I met someone who told me about this place in Hereford, and so I went there for just an induction day, and I met loads of blind people and partially sighted people and dogs and canes. And it was a scary thing, really, because I'd never met anyone that was blind before. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, whoa, you know, this is not really what I am or what I am about. Yeah. Until I actually enrolled there and I met inspirational people and motivational people and realized that actually, just because you can't see very well, there's so much more that you can do. You just got to do it in a different way. And it really opened up my eyes and made me realize the importance of peer support and meeting other people who are blind or partially sighted and just, you know, getting on with things.
So what did you do after RNC, Dan? Did you go to university? Did you go into employment, or was that when you first started thinking about Visualize?
I studied business at RNC, and I first sort of, as I was at the college, I realized that there was a huge lack of awareness amongst the general public of blind people, really. They didn't really know what to do. You could tell they were really unsure. When I would sort of guide my friends who had less vision than me, I would go into shops and people would talk to me rather than them and give me the money rather than them and all this type of stuff. And I just thought, why is that happening? And it made me realize that there was a huge untapped market that people just didn't really know what to do, and they become really unconfident and that type of thing. So I just realized I need to make people more confident and aware. And then I went on to university to study rehabilitation. And I suppose sort of that opened up my mind again to more sort of support that people could get with sight loss. I didn't really want to work for local authority because I didn't really want to help just one or two people. I felt like I needed to help the world understand sight loss. because if I help one or two people, they've still got to go out into the big wide world and, you know, deal with other people's perceptions. And I needed to challenge those perceptions. Yeah. So I felt like that was my calling, I suppose. I had, you know, the academic knowledge, but also personal knowledge as well. And then I set up Visualize and to deliver awareness training to organizations who were not sure what to do, how to guide people, how to communicate with people, all of that type of stuff. And then also doing retention work. So if people lose their vision whilst they're in the workplace, I work with the employer and the occupational health provider to make sure that that person stays in employment, because we know that, you know, sight loss should not equal job loss, but many people just leave their job because they're not aware of what is available.
Yeah. Yeah. How long has Visualize Training Consultancy been going now?
So I'm now in my fifth year. And you know, it has been hard. It's been a struggle running your own business. You get a lot of people knock on doors, and you get a lot of people slam the doors in your face. But I think having a visual impairment has made me more determined, because I've always had stumbling blocks in my life, not being able to see. And I've actually transferred those skills into business. In that, you know, you trip over, you get back up again, you knock into a lamppost, you get back up again, you dust yourself off. And I suppose business is in a way a similar thing, because actually you knock on doors, people don't want you. You knock on doors, then people do want you, you know, but you keep knocking and you've got to get in. And I suppose I've always used that approach, and my ambition, I'm very ambitious, and I always sort of want to strive for success, I suppose. And I think my visual impairments helped me to do that.
Sure. What support did you get when you were actually setting up your business? Did you get any support from anybody? I mean, obviously your family and things helped.
Yeah. So I basically went to the Prince's Trust, who run an enterprise program. And fortunately, I didn't need any money to set up my business, because actually it was a business that didn't need huge investment. You know, because I was delivering training, all I needed really was a projector and, you know, a bit of marketing support behind me. And that was it. So I was lucky in that way. They didn't need huge investment. But again, the Prince's Trust would have given me a grant or a loan if I needed or wanted it. That was one thing.
So did you use Access to Work, or was that not necessary for you at that time?
Access to Work. Yeah, I used Access to Work at the time. I applied for a support worker. And, you know, again, that's been vital, really, in my support, to have somebody to help me with my job, getting around, getting from A to B, helping drive me around to meetings and appointments, and help me deliver training and all that type of stuff. So that's really been vital in, you know, me having my own business, really.
Yeah. So do you cover the whole of England, or do you cover further than that?
I do England. Well, I do UK, really. More recently, I've been invited to speak in China. Last week, I was in Nice. So the fifth year of my business, I've actually done some international work, which is great as well. You know, getting more opportunities to get the message out there.
That's great. That is great.
So what qualifications have you got to deliver? Did you have to take any extra qualifications to do delivery training? Or?
Yeah, so I've done my Level 4 in Equality and Diversity, and I've done my PETALS course, which is preparing to teach in the lifelong learning sector. And then I also done my rehab course as well. And I've also done an iClinic Liaison Officer course. So I've tried to do a mix of different courses, you know, not just to sort of rock up and say, you know, just because I have a visual impairment, I can deliver training.
Oh, that's great.
So then more recently, I had some funding from the Thomas Pocklington Trust to deliver Seeing Beyond the Eyes as well.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that, Dan?
Yeah, so Seeing Beyond the Eyes was an initiative born from the CEO of sort of Thomas Pocklington Trust. I approached him and said, you know, there's a huge gap in that optometrists and dispensing opticians, they don't really know about how to support their patients in the best way. And where to send them for help and support. So I developed some training to optometrists and dispensing opticians so that they do know what sight loss services are available. And we've delivered that throughout England and Scotland. And without every course, we've had sight loss professionals, optical professionals, patients, everyone in the room, so that trying to join up the two sectors to get people talking on the same hymn sheet, but also then getting referrals both ways. Because in my mind, you know, patients, sometimes get missed when they get to ophthalmology services. They don't always get the right support and advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you work with ECLOs as well? I know you've got the ECLO qualification.
Yeah. So we also have ECLOs at the courses as well. So that was, we'd done 45 sessions across England and Scotland, and we trained about 3,500 optical professionals, and the funding's now come to an end. But, you know, my mission would be to train all 20,000 of them, because they all need to know this stuff. Yeah. But unfortunately, the funding's come to an end. But we also, you know, we did like a pre and post survey, and we found that 9% of them currently refer into rehabilitation. So these are high street practitioners. And as a result of coming on the course, 100% of them would now refer into rehabilitation, because it just shows you don't know what you don't know, and they don't actually know what they're referring into, so they're not going to refer into it. And then, you know, again, like 30% of them currently display sight loss leaflets in their practice, and we try and encourage them also to display leaflets about local sight loss charities and that type of thing in their practices, because, you know, it's a huge gap that's missing. And I think for years and years, the sight loss and optical sector have been miles apart, but actually they need to work better together to make and empower people's lives better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how can people sort of get in touch with you? What kind of things can you help with at the moment? What if, you know, if someone thinks your service is going to help them, what, how do they get in touch, and what can you help with?
So if someone's struggling in the workplace, employers can commission me to do workplace assessments. And when I come into the workplace and do a workplace assessment to ascertain what adjustments that person will need. And also, if your staff need training, so maybe if you work with sighted staff that maybe just don't get your visual impairment and they need a bit of awareness training, then again, I can do the awareness training for the staff as well. And they can contact me on my email address.
And do you want to give that email address?
Yeah, so it's daniel@visualizetrainingandconsultancy.co.uk.
What's the future for Visualize then?
The future for me is to try and get some more funding to continue my mission to educate the optical sector, and basically to just continue to empower blind and partially sighted people to reach their full potential.
Brilliant. Excellent. That's it. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.